Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No contact delivery. Houston sports straight to your ear hole.
That sounds uncomfortable.
No, the ear hole.
Oh.
Tell your smart device. Play Sports Talk 790 on iHeartRadio.
Pleasuring Houston ear holes.
You're in the trenches with ND Kalu on Sports Talk 790.
Welcome in, welcome back. I'm excited to get this brother in on this segment. I've known him as a fellow NFL alum, a guy that has his own, started and developed his own football league, the States Developmental League. He's also on the executive team for Global Fan Exchange as a business development executive, a guy that played at the highest level, and he sat at some of the nice leather chairs on the executive level of this league, and he feels that he should be the next general manager for the Houston Texans. Gerrick Jones, excuse me, joining us in the trenches. I'm you know what? This isn't no softball down south questioning, Gerrick. This is ND Kalu. I'm gonna give you that tough resume interview so the listeners can see if you're worthy of this great position. How are you doing this morning, brother?
Man, I woke up this morning, so I can't complain about much, man. How about you, Doc?
Amen to that. I'm excited to be here. Chris Gordy, also in the trenches with us. Hold on. We have a little feedback. Is that me? Brendan? Gerrick, get off your dang cricket phone. We want.
I know, man. Is that better?
Give me the thumbs up, Brendan. He's my – okay, so far it is. So let's get right into this. Now, explain to everyone what you did. Was this a couple of years ago, a year ago, where you started the petition and had thousands of people sign it? Can you kind of talk about the petition, what you were trying to accomplish with that, and what happened with it?
Well, with the petition, man, it more or less started in March, like right when the pandemic hit. And what it was, you know, the situation with D-Hop. You know, I've been in that position where, you know, you're a guy that, you know, people look to you for that inspiration, and you're going to show up, you know, week in and week out and do what you do. But unfortunately, you know, guys can get traded away just like that because of a breakdown in communication, right? And my thing was, you know, looking at, you know, what we put into the organization when we played, you know, in regards to the foundation of this thing, man, it was time for somebody to raise their hands and say, you know, we got to change this, you know, because of everything that was going on with Bill O'Brien at the time. You know, there was no clear and concise direction, and there wasn't any transformational leadership going on within the organization, you know, on his end.
Were you afraid that it might be perceived as challenging the ownership when you had that petition go out there?
No. Actually, the reason I put the petition out was to get in front of the fans that were wanting to boycott the team. And they were calling for the firing of Bill O'Brien. So what I did was, you know, I initiated the fan re-engagement initiative to get in front of these people and say, listen, instead of you not showing up and supporting the team and eventually the team having to leave, kind of like the Oilers situation, you know, I wanted to be a voice for them and make sure that they understood that there are things that could be done, you know, in regards to communication and being able to get to ownership to where they can the opinions that they had, we can voice them. And I wanted to be a voice for them, but I wanted them to continue to support the fellas and come out because, you know, we got to do this together. You know, so that was the ultimate goal for it. You know, I never jumped in and said, look, I'm better than Bill O'Brien. I can do this. I can do that. It was more or less to say, listen.
So you better be if you want that job.
Yeah.
This isn't the time to be humble.
At that particular time, you know what I'm saying? It was one of those deals where, you know, I had to tread lightly and say, hey, look, you know, let me be the force. Let me be the voice for the people. Because if they stop coming to the games, I mean, we're in trouble. You know, so now it's kind of like with the pandemic and everything else that's going on. You know, we got to figure this thing out. But I wanted them to have more of a voice the right way, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Speaking with Gerrick Jones, a football executive, former NFL player, former Canadian football player. Let me ask you this. I listened and I read your rough draft for the proposal. And again, right. I'm going to play on the other side. It seems like you're the listeners will appreciate this about you. You're heavily involved when it comes to the fans, listening to the fans, appreciating the fans. But does the general manager, does he need to care about the fans? Isn't it about fielding a team, get the wins and losses, and the fans are going to come?
Well, that's how it normally is, right? It's business as usual, unfortunately. But when you operate in that manner, you tend to alienate the people that you need. So you think about a football team. You know, you have your offense, you have your defense, and you have your special teams. That's all three phases. So you have to look at the fans being one of the phases of your team and your cultural outlook. So for them to not have a voice and to be spending the money that they're spending, you know, you're alienating them. So at some point, we got to figure out how to bridge the gap. And my job is to be able to do that, not only bridge the gap from the fans to the current players, but the former players and the upper management. So that way, once we come together and everybody's on the same page, we're talking Super Bowl. You know, it has to be that.
So, Garrick, let me ask you, what would be your first move, not personnel, but roster-wise, if you were the GM of the Texans? What would be your first MO?
Well, the first thing first, man, we got to establish the culture. We got to establish the Texans way. We don't have that. We never had that. It's always we've been somebody else, or, you know, we were the Denver South, or we were, you know, this New Orleans, not New Orleans, but New England situation. So we would have to get that established from day one. Then from there, we got to bring a coach in here that is going to be able to work with myself so we can get the right players in that they would like, and also sit down with the players that are here and get them to buy into what we're talking about in regards to the Super Bowl and us working it out like that. But if I had my druthers in the situation, you know, I would sit down with the guys that are making a pretty good penny, and I'd say, man, look, we got to figure out how to come together to get this cap under control and figure out the best way for everybody to buy into it, because I'm a big believer in being able to build from within. I mean, we have the players. It's just being able to connect with them, because from what I've seen, they're operating, have been operating for a number of years at 40 to 60%. If we can get them up to 80% to 100%, now we're talking about, you know, being competitive. So if we can do that, that keeps us from having to do a lot of changes and those types of things. But of course, there's going to be situations where once you get that new coach in and we're trying to establish that culture, some guys may not fit it. Some guys may not want to restructure a deal. And then from there, you got to move on. So it would be that, man. We got to get the culture right first.
Garrett, the elections today, Biden and Trump will credit you for answering that question without answering the question. What the hell are you going to do with your first move as a general manager, man? That felt good. Like when you were talking, Garrett, I was like, man, that feels good. Then when you were done,
you
I was like, so what's he going to do? Change the culture? Who are you bringing in? What dogs are you bringing in? What cats are you kicking off the team? What moves are you making, Garrett? This is a tough position.
Well, number one, like I say, man, we got to get the coach in. So
okay,
but once we get a coach in and we get it situated and they understand where we're going with this thing, and then we get locked in, we can make it happen. And that's the thing that people got to understand. Everybody's so hell bent on just blowing up everything and doing this and doing that. We don't have to look at it like that in regards to a rebuild scenario, because my thing is we have to have a win now mentality. Once the players buy into that and they buy into a new direction, those guys will step up because they're getting paid for a reason. Same thing with when we were there. We got paid for a reason. We are the 1% that makes it. So we have to get those guys back into that mind frame and them understanding that, hey, we can go out here and do this, because we're only a year or 2 years from being competitive, right?
Right.
So what happened? So now we got to come in and we got to address that. It's just like I tell people all the time, if you were a family and I came in and I took away your wife, I took away your son and your daughter, and then I replaced them with some random people, that's going to take you a while to get that figured out in regards to going to work the next day and operating.
Can we try that for real life? Can we do that in real life?
Man, they got shows about it. Right.
Look, all jokes aside, because you and I, we've known each other, and I've been so impressed with what you've done. And I know everything's shut down, you know, with the pandemic, with the developmental league. Can you kind of let us know where you're at with that, when and if it'll kick back? And I know the pandemic's, you know, shut some things down. Are you still working with the developmental league so other guys could get filmed for the NFL? Uh-oh. So that was a tough question. I should be interviewing the presidential candidates, because I ask those tough questions, and I don't need a mute on the buttons. Did people hear you ask me that? Oh, you could ask. Let the people. We're transparent.
I was trying to figure out if you want me to get him back on or not.
I know. I was looking at the time because you're the one who always keeps me in line.
We are up against it.
Yeah, we're up against it. So, no, I'll just send him a thank you text and we'll go from there. And let's see if you're feeling what Garrett Jones has to say. Does he get your
vote? Texans.
You know what? I'd have to interview a couple more people. Have to interview a couple more people before I give him my my vote. I do like what he said after I grilled him and said, no, tell us something. So, yeah, we're going to take a quick timeout and let's give away some Tuesday Trenchies on the other side. In the Trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.